This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Good day and welcome again to the Vice Chancellor's Research Vlogs. And today I'm joined by Professor Numbi. Prof, before we engage on your research portfolio, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you very much, Prof, for this opportunity. My name is Papi Numbi Bubele. I'm an associate professor in electrical engineering at the Mangosuthu University of Technology, and I'm also the acting HOD for the same department.
Right. Thank you very much. I was looking at your research profile. Very impressive. And my questions are going to be around your research growth and where you are and your plans. Yeah. All right. Tell us a little bit about your research and your collaboration efforts.
My research started from my master's studies from the University of University of Technology. And then from there, I went to the University of Pretoria for my PhD. And they had the opportunity to work with an A-rated researcher, you know, Prof. Shah, who is now retired. And I've learned a lot from him as what it takes to be a good researcher. And I graduated from that from the University of Pretoria in 2015, September, of course. And in the same year, I had the opportunity to come to Mangosuthu as a postdoc. So I joined Mangosuthu in 2015, in July. And I used to work in the Center for the Development of Green Technologies under the late Prof. Malinga, who used to be the Dean of Engineering. Mm-hmm. And a year after that, I had the opportunity to become a lecturer in the Department of Electrical Engineering. That was in June 2016. Mm-hmm. And from 2016, you know, I started lecturing in the Department of Electrical Engineering. Then in 2019, I got promoted to a senior lectureship position. Then in 2024, I became an associate professor until now.
Fantastic. What inspired, what made you choose your area of specialization? What is it about it that you felt that you wanted to be an expert in that area? And what motivates you to continue doing research in that field?
Thank you very much for that question. But maybe, Prof, if you may allow me to take you a little bit back to the first question. I think I forgot to answer about the collaboration. Mm-hmm. I should say that my collaboration, you know, whether it's internal or external, has helped me a lot to grow in terms of being a researcher. I do collaboration with the external universities such as the CUT, especially Prof. Kusakana. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Prof, we don't have currently postgrads at Mangosuthu. Mm. So I took that opportunity to supervise students with Prof. Kusakana from CUT. Mm-hmm. And I should say that without that, I wouldn't be where I am today. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. All right. Now, what inspires you? Why do you wake up every day with the same enthusiasm for your area of research?
I think I should just give you a bit of background, mm-hmm. how, you know, I decided to choose the topic that I'm working on. As I said before, I did my master's from Tshwane University of Technology, and I worked on optimization of reactive power in a power system, you know, with a connection of a wind farm. Mm-hmm. And from that, I saw an opportunity, and I remember during that time, Eskom was struggling to meet the demand in terms of electricity in South Africa. And that's when they came with this idea of EEDSM, energy efficiency or demand side management. So there was a huge pressure on Eskom because they couldn't meet the demand. Mm. And from that, I decided to go to the University of Pretoria to continue working in a similar topic in energy optimization. But then this time around with a focus on mining, because as you might know, Prof, mining consume a lot of electrical energy. Mm-hmm. So most of the cost goes to electrical energy. And in the past, I've seen some mining closing just because of they couldn't cope with the cost of electricity. And one of the reasons of that is that the the most of the resources are depletable. They'll finish on time, of course. So, which means that nowadays what we need to do, we need to optimize the resources, you know, so that we do have. And that's what inspired me to conduct research in energy optimization. And that's what I'm doing until now, because even now we're still under pressure in terms of energy. I remember whenever I start my class for electrical distribution 3 in S4, I usually tell my student that, look, there's no, the electrical energy is the most important energy. Imagine that in South Africa, you know, they decide to cut off the electricity. What will, you know, what will become? The economy, you know, will just collapse.
Indeed.
So, yeah, that's what is important. It inspired me to conduct research in energy optimization.
All right. Indeed, your area of research is critical, I must say.
Yes.
And just briefly, how it has impacted on, I know you have touched a little bit on that, but how has it impacted on communities, industry, or policy?
As you know, Prof, we, as an academic, we do teach, of course. Mm-hmm. We do also conduct research and also community engagement or external engagement. And I always say that for me, if we just teach, conduct research without having impact into the society, mm-hmm. in the community, then it doesn't serve for the purpose. Mm. And that's why the community engagement that I do is a research-based community engagement. I'll just give you some of the example.
Yeah.
When I joined Mangosuthu in 2015 as a postdoc, I had an opportunity to work with a small business, you know, SMM, you know, and they saw an opportunity to conduct business in energy efficiency, but they did not have the background into the field knowledge. I think the guy who started this business, had an economic background, but he saw an opportunity in energy efficiency. And part of the mission that we had in the center is to work with SMEs so that we can actually transfer our skill. And they came to us, and we were assisting them to try to transfer their skills to them. I used to go to the site with them, show them how to connect the data logger, to collect data, to write an energy efficiency report, and all of that. Until now, I'm still doing that. And I should say that I'm very happy to see that company has now grown up. Wow. They are now applying for tenders now.
Mm.
So it became a big, big, big company. And the guy who started that company used to stay in Kwamashu. I used to go there. But now he's a big man now, I can tell you. And that has made me proud to say this is the impact that I've done. And maybe another thing that maybe I have to state, Prof, is that most of my former PhD students are now well-placed. So some of them are industry, and they're working almost in the same area, you know, in which we conduct the research. There's someone, I think, Mr. John, who is working in a company in Jobe, in consulting company that deal with the energy optimization for mining industry especially. And I also have, Mr. Honi, who is now a senior lecturer at CUT. And so very soon, I believe, he's going to be an associate professor. Yeah. So those are some of the impact that my research
has had.
Yes, in the past.
That's fantastic. And the obvious question, how does it align to Vision 2030, Ignite 2030?
I think my research is well aligned to the MUT vision. As you know, that one of the things that we have to do at MUT is to conduct research that takes into account of digital transformation, especially. And when you deal with the energy, you deal with data every day. And in 2016, I decided to connect data loggers in one of the substations here at Mangosuthu. There's a substation behind the transport department, procurement, that site. I connected data logger there to see how the university is consuming energy and see whether there's opportunity to reduce the energy costs. I've done that, and we've been analyzing that data.
Mm.
And recently, we've connected another data logger into the new building, of electrical engineering, to just to analyze data. And also, we are also thinking of conducting research in digital twins, which means that digital twins is just it's a simulation of a physical system, but that takes real data to account. So we are working on that currently.
Wow. That's quite interesting.
Thank you.
And obviously impactful. Now, do you have any emerging researchers or emerging academics that you are working with here at MUT? Tell us about that.
Yes, we... I do have especially two or three.
Mm-hmm.
There's one who's doing is as you know, Prof, that we're still growing our capacity at MIT. So most of our staff are still doing their PhD degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working with Sangidi. So Mr. Sangidi is doing his master's, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually his main supervisor. I've been working with Mr. Sibia. So I used to be my master's, he was my master's student, but before he was in industry, and but now he's a lecturer in our department, so we work together for his PhD.
Mm-hmm.
And we also work with the other colleagues in the same department, but also in the Department of Mechanical Engineering, we do work with the colleagues there as well. And in chemical, I used to work with the Prof. Kaniki.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, he left, but I used to work with him as well.
All right. As we close, what advice would you give to emerging researchers at MUT, especially in your area of engineering, be it mechanical or electrical?
Thank you very much for that question, Prof. I think the advice that I would give is to... Yes, I know sometimes we do complain to say that we do have a high or heavy teaching load,
mm-hmm.
and that prevents us from conducting research. But I think one is to develop strategies for instance, collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that. Because, as I said before, Prof, without collaboration, I wouldn't achieve what I've achieved so far, because we don't have postgrad. For you to grow in research, you really have to have a postgrad. Even the NRF rating that I do have, I think it's because of that. Not I think, it is because of that, so without collaboration. And I've been seeing people complaining, no teaching, we don't have postgrad. But I think people should not dwell on that. People should go beyond that and seek for external collaboration with the university, which offer
postgrad,
instead of just complaining, because I think that's my main advice.
And amongst the students that you have, be it at undergraduate, have you identified any that you think, oh, this one has the potential, I'm gonna try to help and grow him or her into a solid academic or researcher?
I think, yes, Prof, I've done that in the past. Earlier on, I spoke about Mr. Sibia, who was working in industry before, I think in the Umsundis municipality in Gitabaris, he was the manager there. And, he's an MUT product. He did his bachelor here, diploma here. And I used to encourage him to continue with his postgrad. That's why he decided to do the master's with him, and currently, we are doing also PhD. And also just to add onto that, Prof, whenever I identify, a very good student, I always advise them to go and register their duty to do their their further qualification, and then maybe come back to me so that we can work on master's and PhD together. I always do that. I always encourage my students, and sometimes also give them opportunity, because now with this community engagement, activities that I do, which is with the industry, of course, I sometimes do recommend students there to go and learn, and then they report to me.
About the experience.
About the experience.
Thank you very much, Professor Numbi. We have come to the end of our conversation. I hope that you continue to contribute to this important field of study and have more mentees under your wing.
Thank you very much, Prof. I really appreciate the time spent together during this interview.
Thank you.
And I should say that we are also happy to have you.
Thank you very much.
And drive the research agenda at MUT because we really need that.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.